Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, ladies, for coming our way. And the Crown College is there in Powell, Tennessee, just north of Knoxville, and a wonderful place that folks are receiving Bible educations and, of course, ministry training. But all of them, all the degrees they get, have Bible in them. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful place if you feel, you or your children, grandchildren, somebody feel led to go in ministry and train for that, then we certainly would recommend in Crown College. And then, of course, they have their School of Trades and many offerings there for folks that want to train for a trade in life, but then also get a Bible foundation. And so you'll hear more about that. Brother Orr is their sponsor with them today, and he'll be sharing a little bit of that tonight as he presents that ministry. But we're so thankful for them. And many of my friends have gone to Crown. Brother Jody, our former pastor here, went and trained at Crown College. Miss Becca Nash just finished up this spring. And we praise the Lord. My daughter attends there as well. And we're so thankful for the ministry of Crown College, and challenge you to check out the table after the service if you have any interest whatsoever. And there's some wonderful CDs there that I know are very reasonably priced and be good music to have in your home, have in your wherever you're playing. Put it down. Download and put on your devices. So Crown College is a great place. But I want to get back to our day today and remind you that tonight we tried to work in the situation, or the order of service rather, to get Brother Stevens to come up here and say a word, but we just felt like we just want to honor him tonight and have a good time for you to get to spend a little time with him. At the conclusion of the service, we will ask him to go out in the lobby, he and Miss Marilyn, if you want to shake hands, get with him, and then come back tonight, though, and hear some wonderful preaching from Brother Stevens. All jokes aside, he's been a great, great blessing to the church, been a great blessing to me personally, and I've been their home. They invited me over. I was heading over that way. So they invited me for a wonderful, delicious meal. Just wonderful saints of the Lord. And I challenge you to come back and get to fellowship with them tonight. So we'll look forward to that. Let's get into the Bible, shall we? We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, as you find your place there in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 2. I heard a story about this fellow that was, he was a farmer. He's a good old-fashioned fellow, but somehow or another, it got wind, or people had been spreading lies about him, that he was some illegal drugs growing his property, or else somebody was sneaking in and growing them. And so one day a DEA agent, drug enforcement agency agent, came up there, and he told this fella, he said, I'm here from the DEA. He said, I'm inspecting your farm for illegal drugs. And of course, the fellow was taken back because he didn't use any, didn't have any use for them. Certainly didn't condone that, but he said, okay. He said, but I'm going to go over this field everywhere. He said, I'm here checking for that. And he said, well, you're welcome to. He said, but please don't go in that field over there. And he pointed over this one field. And he said, I'll go wherever I want to. He said, well, I'm just saying it would be better not to go in that field. And then he reached in and got his badge and showed it to that guy and pushed up in his face. He said, you see that badge right there? He said, I see it. He said, that badge right there gives me the authority to go anywhere I want without any reason, and to ask any questions, or to say, look anywhere without you asking any questions. He said, that badge shows that I can go. You got it? And he nodded. He said, okay, sure thing. A little while longer, he heard that DEA agent running out of that field. And right close behind him was this big old mad bull. And he was chasing him down and getting closer and closer, about to run over him and gore him. And he looked at him. He put his tools down, went over to the fence, kind of with a laugh. But he looked at that, and that bull was getting closer and closer to that DEA agent that put his badge in his face and said, this badge allows me to go over up wherever I want. And the farmer went up to the fence, and he said, show him your badge. Show him your badge. There you go. So that doesn't have anything to do with anything, except just thought maybe you need to laugh a little bit this morning. So sometimes you might want to listen to the old farmer and not go in that field. I heard a story. This is not a joke. This is a sincere story. A father was reading paper, but halfway watching some television, and his son wants to play with him. Said, Daddy, can you play with me? And he said, not right now, as soon as this program's over. Well, you know how it happens. That program ended. The next one got him involved in that news program, and he started watching that one. But his son was very adamant about, Daddy, will you play with me? Play with me. And he said, I will. And then, you know the story, another program comes and goes. But finally, he took the newspaper and had a picture. This particular newspaper had a picture of the world, a very busy picture, a lot going on the front page for some reason, had a big picture of the world and the different things. And so he had an idea. He took that paper and he tore the front page off of it. And then he took and he tore it into strips. Not ladies, mad, just tore it into strips and shuffled them together and then put it to that son, that boy, son of his, and said, put that together. And he thought, oh, that'll take him a long time. And he thought, well, that'll take him a while. It was just like a puzzle. And that boy said, I'll do it. And so he went back, dad did, to go do what he was doing. And he came back, wasn't very long at all. And this boy said, I got it done. And dad says, there's no way you got it done. He said, I do get it done. He said, no, that can't be true. And so he went, sure enough, he had it all put together. He thought he had a child prodigy here. He thought he had someone that was going to, you know, that was a genius or something. He said, how did you do that? He said, that picture, how did you get all that together? And he said, Daddy, I looked on the back page of that thing you gave me. There's this picture of a large picture of a man's face. He said, so I didn't worry about all that picture and the busy picture that his dad was trying to get him put together. He said, I didn't worry about that picture on there. He said, I just looked at that man's face. I could find his eyes and his nose and his mouth, and I just put all that together. And then when I taped it all together, I turned it over. That's the picture that you wanted. And I thought about as I read that story, sometimes here we are, we're trying to put all the mess of this world together. We're trying to figure out how the atrocities on the news fit in with what's going on here. And we try to figure out how these wicked things that are going, how that can even go. And we've seemed to think that our so many problems in our society and our nation and in our world, and we look and say, how can that be all, how can all this come together? But I challenge you, like the little boy did, to turn that paper over. And if we would look at the face of Christ, and the Bible says we're supposed to view him, look at him, and let him be our life. If we would get everything consumed in your life and in my life with finding the face of Jesus Christ, then you would start to see that everything would come together. Now, that's not going to make the news reports be any better. That's not going to make the bad news quit coming off your radio and off your television. But what it is going to do is when you get focused on the face of Christ and when you get focused on looking at him, then it's going to make your world fall into place and say, wow, I all of a sudden don't care about on the backside of this where that world's all running helter-skelter. All of a sudden, what I care about is the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, if I could get all of us just to focus on him, one preacher put it like this. He didn't watch much TV and didn't follow all the things that were going on. Some pastor or some member rather said, Pastor, how do you keep up with what's going on in the world with if you don't watch TV and you don't do this? He said, which world are we trying to keep up with? And he said, I can find in the Bible, I'm trying to keep up with that world. And I think about all of us that are trying to make sense out of everything that's running wild in this world. I challenge you as that little boy to turn your eyes upon Jesus and let him start making sense of what's going on. One preacher put it like this, and we'll get our text. One preacher put it like this. I thought the world was falling apart, but then the more I read my Bible and the more I see what's going on, the more I realize about the power of God. Instead of the world falling apart, I realized it was just falling into place, ready for the Lord to come and set up what he wants to have set up. We're going to look at a lady, Hannah, that the Bible says finds her rock. If you look at 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, Hannah is going to find her rock, as the Word of God says. And I'm going to preach on that for just the next 15 minutes or so about what a rock we have. And Hannah, verse number 1 of chapter 2, 1 Samuel. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation, this prayer to the Lord. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Look at the next phrase. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. We're not going to read the whole prayer. You could look all the way down to verse number 11. But we're going to preach right from that few verses there in verse 1, 2, and 3 about this subject, what a rock. Because the scripture says that Hannah in her prayer said, neither is there any rock like our God. I'm thinking about that little boy as he was told to his dad basically to go away. Put this picture that I've tore apart, this puzzle that I made a puzzle out of the newspaper. Put it together. And instead, the boy found the only way to make any sense out of all that gibberish was to find the face of Jesus Christ. And my friend, the only way that you and I are going to make any sense out of the gibberish that's going on in all this is for you and I tomorrow and the next day to get in the Word of God and find ourselves looking for the face of Jesus Christ. Because I can tell you that if you're trying to find comfort and peace and stability and something sane in what's going on in this world, you're going to be looking for a long time. Because unfortunately, this many places, the world has gone off the rails. And if we're trying to get our stability from there, we're looking for stability from something that cannot provide it. Like the Bible talks about looking at something that can't provide any stability is like counting on a foot that's out of joint. You can't put your weight on it. You can't put any pressure on it. And my friend, if we're looking at this world, and I understand that we've got programs after programs after programs, and I'm not against them. We have education galore, and we have opportunities for people. And well, we should. We have opportunities, though, for people. But if we're looking at anything other than Jesus Christ to give our stability, then we are looking at something that cannot provide, like wells without water. We see this in a Rasmussen poll says this, that 59% of Americans right now are worried about their retirement, in a Gallup poll, I should say. 59%, so almost, oh, well over half of Americans are worried about money for their retirement. You know what? In 2013, a poll that I read, the biggest worries that people had were health and fitness, getting old, but nobody in this room is doing that, of course, financial future, your credit, your job security, your work goals, and your relationships. I'm trying to tell us that we get worried about everything. There's nothing that comes at us that we don't worry about. Well, you say, wow, you look like you're in good health. Yeah, but only until I get the next report. You look like your house is great. Yes, but it's going bad. We find things wrong in everything. And I understand that you can't have this Pollyanna mentality that says, well, everything's going to be fine. You have to come down to work on stuff, and you have to come down to work on vehicles and cars and relationships and all that. I get it. Yes, but my friend, we're going to have to be like Hannah, where she said, there is no other rock like our God. And everything that you do, you're going to have to get yourself focused back on the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. Number one, her rock gave her inner strength. You say, how do you get that? Look at verse number one. Her rock gave her inner strength. The Bible says, Hannah prayed and said, my heart, seat of my emotions, my inner part, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. It goes on to say there that that he's exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged. And it says in verse number 2, for there is none other beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Mine horn, rather, is exalted in the Lord. And that horn speaks of strength. It's something to hold on to. You remember the horns of the altar, or sometimes if in other ways it's interpreted, the mountains, meaning the strength or something that can hold on. And so the Word of God says here, as she prays, says, my heart rejoices in the Lord, and mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My friend, again, if you're trying to get your peace, your stability from anything else, you are going to find yourself coming up empty. Hannah knows this rock and this inner strength that comes from this rock, because I remind you that the Bible talks about the Old Testament, God being our rock, but then in the New Testament, it follows up with that, because Jesus, the Word of God says, is the chief cornerstone of the church. And then he goes on to say, when he's talking to Peter, upon this rock himself, I will build the church. And so you understand that this rock that Hannah had, it gave her that inner strength. What can give me confidence in this crazy world? You've seen enough volatility in some retirement funds up till now. So far, they've been going up, and that's good. But many of you have caught the ride down and the ride up. We can't get stability from there. We can't grab stability from our health, because we know that we're one phone call away from having the worst news of our life. Sometimes we can't get stability from our family, because they're just as susceptible to things happening as we are. My friend, I'm not trying to depress you this morning. All I've come to you is be a messenger to say that you shouldn't count on those things to give you strength. Instead, that inner strength is going to have to come from the Lord. I can tell you what, that inner strength is going to have to come when you get alone with the Lord tomorrow morning, tomorrow night, tomorrow evening, whatever you do, whenever your time is, your strength is going to have to be, because everything in the world is telling you how nothing can be counted on. Everything in the world is telling you how it's all wrong and everything's running haywire. You're going to have to come into this book and find something that's constant, because the Bible says about Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. her rock gave Hannah inner strength. But not only does that do that, the Bible says her rock allows her to speak up. Look at the word of God in verse 1 again. It says, mine horn is exalted, but then look at it. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. It allowed her to speak up. Now I'm going to avoid the low-hanging fruit about ladies being quick to speak. I'm not that kind of preacher, you know. But since you brought it up, sometimes they do speak more than the men do. But that's not what I'm talking about. He says, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. What that literally is saying is that I had something to say when the enemy came. And as Christians, when the world hits us with both barrels, it seems like, just full on, we got to have something to say. The Bible says we ought to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lieth within us. We ought to always be able to give an answer about our salvation. But no more past that even, we ought to be able to give an answer when people say to you at work, say, listen, I know you're one of those church people. What in the world's going on? Now listen, friend, you may not be able to describe all that's going on because it gets so confluted and sometimes gets so disorganized. I don't know either. Like one old preacher said, he's dead now, he's in heaven, but he said, I have some sermons back in the 70s. He said, I got some prophecy sermons. They didn't work out like I thought it was. I'd sell those cheap. Sometimes preachers don't know what's going on either, because they twist and they turn, and the specifics aren't given always in the Word of God. But there's you understand this, there's plenty of specifics in there that there's no doubt about it. You may not always know what each little piece is, but you can trust the Lord. When God brings people to your desk, literally to your desk at work, and they ask you, now they're coming onto your turf, and they're saying, hey, listen, I know you're a church, I know you're a Christian, or whatever they say, what's going on with all of this? God's just allowed you to get teed up, has allowed you to take a swing and just say, I don't know about all those specifics, but I can tell you that the one that does know, Jesus Christ, has got it all figured out. Let me tell you about him. And what we see is that Hannah, not only did she have her inner strength because her strength was in the Lord, but it also allowed her to speak up. The Bible says in chapter 1, verse 16, out of the abundance of my complaint and my grief have I spoken hitherto. This is the story, you know, on the tail end of when Hannah can't have a child, and she comes there to the temple and she's praying, and the priest thinks that she's intoxicated, and she says, oh no, I'm just pouring my heart out before the Lord. And God granted her a son. And now as she's bringing back that son and lending him to the Lord, as the Word of God says, she is praying this prayer. And she is a lady that has faced some of the most awful things in life. And she has come up to realize that with God as her strength, she is able now to give an answer to those people that are her enemies. Listen, folks, we should not be obstinate. We shouldn't be unkind and mean and ungracious at all. But we ought to always, when folks stand and say, well, I don't know about all that stuff, and that stuff, meaning that religious stuff, we don't have to back down, my friend. He is our anchor. He is, as Hannah prayed, our rock. And for those of you who work in hostile environments, and you work where you're the minority, and people laugh and poke fun and make snide comments about those churchy people, let me just remind you evermore to get in the Word of God and let the Word of God get into you, and remember that His Word, He's our rock. It allows us to open our mouth against our enemies. And sometimes when we realize, or we get to a place where we say, I just can't handle it anymore, we get to a place where you just say, it's just too much, too draining on me, then that's a big flashing warning sign that says, get in the book, get close to the Lord, seek His face so that you have the strength and the power and the wherewithal to go through her rock. Allow to speak up. I heard a whimsical story, and whether it's true or not, it's a good one. You know, every preacher doesn't validate the story. If they sound good, they go with them. On a college campus, this atheist that was denying God and denying all that was any deity, he was challenging God as he stood up on this little raised spot there on the campus somewhere. He's challenging God, says, if there is a God, have him knock me off this platform. If there is a God, have him strike me from heaven. And his crowd was growing and growing, as sometimes when people are an obstacle or a they're seen there. The crowd grew, and this person just taunting God. If there's a God, have him do this. If there's a God, have him do this. And there was a football practice that led out about that time, and this football player was seeing what the crowd was about. He was a good old Christian boy, and he was just looking to see what the crowd was looking at. And so he heard all this being spewed from this atheist and God denier, and he'd had about all he could take. He's like Popeye. You know, Popeye said, I stands all he stands, I can't stands no more. You remember him? He's about like Popeye, but he was coming from football practice, and so he had his helmet there under his arm, so he just took it off and put it on his head and strapped it. And he just made through that wave of people. And he ran. As he ran and started pushing people, people got out of his way. And he just leveled that fellow that was preaching or this was sort of spewing out that atheistic challenge to God. And, of course, it took the guy off guard. And he just laid back there on the ground. And that football player from on top of me, he said, God was busy, so he sent me. Now, that's not true. God's never busy, but he's busy doing everything, but he's not too busy. Now, I don't condone that, but I'm just saying he certainly got his mouth open against his enemies. My friend, I'm just saying to you this morning that as Hannah, remember the lady that could not have a child but wanted so bad to have one and prayed, Lord, would you give me one? And God grants that request, that petition. And as she brings the baby back up to the temple and is not even raised by her, she brings him back up to the temple now. And as she prays this prayer to say, Lord, I am giving back my child and my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, my inner strength. And not only does it do that, but mine horn is exalted and my mouth is enlarged. She was able to speak up against her enemies. And then it gives this last one in verse 1. Her rock let her rejoice in salvation. Look at the end of verse 1 and we're about done. Because I rejoice in, if we were a class, I'd say class. We're not, but we're a church. We rejoice in whose salvation class? Thy. Whose salvation? Thy, God's salvation. She said, I rejoice in thy salvation. He dished it out to her, and she was willingly glad to get it. Maybe I should have listed this one first, but it's just the way that comes in the verse here. But her rock let her rejoice in salvation. I don't know how you do, but I know how I do. And sometimes when life gets long and the weeks get even longer and we understand that we just go from event to event and it just seems like you don't have a time to recoup and regain your strength and regain your composure. But we always like to look forward to something. If that's a vacation, if that's a day off, if that's this, if that's that. Well, all of us probably have a little tendency to do that. So, boy, if I can just get to the end. Well, if you get a little bit of that mindset in this point here, I think you'll get what I'm trying to get at. Her rock, Jesus, her rock, the Lord, and our rock, Jesus Christ, but her rock, that horn of salvation that rejoiced in the Lord, her rock allowed her to rejoice in salvation. And my friend, when everything else goes wrong in your life, when the water's leaking, you heard about that fellow that had the roof leak? His wife said, why don't you get that fixed? He said, I can't. I said, why not? He said, well, every time it's leaking, it's raining. When it's not raining, it doesn't leak. So maybe the roof is leaking, the car's broke down, the washer won't work. The neighbors are mad about the fact that you're mowing too far over on their side. The neighbors over here are mad because you're not mowing far enough. Everything's bad. My friend, if you've got salvation in Jesus Christ, you have got enough to rejoice over. You've got enough overage to last you until God gets you to glory. And I don't want us to just bear through. I don't want us just to muscle our way through. But sometimes that's about all you got. And I'm telling you that the rock that Hannah had talked about in this prayer that she had given says, the horn of thy salvation, yes, but or the horn of that. But we see here that the rejoice in thy salvation, and her rock allowed her rejoice in salvation. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three guys throwing fire. You remember all them? Do you remember that's what they were asked by that king? Says, your God able to deliver you out of this? And they said, well, yeah, I mean, this is the West Virginia vernacular. He can if he wants to. But you remember how he says, but if not. Meaning that they were going to say that, yeah, he's got it. But if he doesn't choose to, we're still going to serve him. And my friend, when bad things come to your life, like they do to yours and mine, I'm challenging you to see this rock that Hannah prayed about, this rock that Hannah brought that or said that there is neither any rock like our God. This rock lets us rejoice in salvation. How do you feel as I close as you watch the news? How do you feel as society redefines God's institution of marriage that he put forth in the Bible? How do you feel as they stamp underfoot God's word? How do you feel when immorality is replaced and people say there's no reason for goodness and there's no reason for this? How do you feel when all those things happen? You don't feel great. And I can't change any of those, but I can change what we dwell on. I can change what we focus on. And Hannah trusted the Lord before he gave Samuel, and then she trusted him after. And then God, as this chapter will reveal, God gave her four or five more kids anyways. But Hannah trusted God through all of that. You see, he's all that she had to hold on to. And my friend, maybe we need to get desperate this morning. Maybe we need to get desperate and realize he's all we have to hold on to as well. I read one time that worry and worship are exact opposites. We ought to be worrying if we're worshiping God. But if we're not worshiping God, then we'll probably be prone to worry. Because when we're worshiping God, we're saying that God, you are able. But when we're worrying our guts out, we're doubting maybe that he's going to do anything about it. What a rock we have. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray for every person in this room today. Lord, I pray that they would trust thee in whatever problems are going on in their life. Lord, I pray that they would receive your help, your assistance. Lord, may they drive. I believe I'm looking at predominantly folks that know you, dear Lord. They're saved. But I also know that we're prone to worry. We're prone to wander. We're prone to get all consumed with the cares of this world. But Lord, may we, like that little boy, turn that newspaper over of all the chaos going on in the world and turn that newspaper around, dear Lord, and just try to focus on the face of Jesus Christ, our Savior. My friend, as you're here today and doing a little contemplation right there where you sit, are you worrying about too much right now? We're talking about a lady who had no children, desperately wanted one, prayed and trusted God, and God delivered. But in that prayer, after she brought that boy back up, she said, "There's no rock like our rock. There's no rock like unto our God. He allows me to speak up against my enemies. He allows me to rejoice in the Lord." My friend, I believe that some of us need to get our eyes off the world and get our eyes on the Lord. Maybe you're here as a Christian and you need to do just that. And you just need to do business with the Lord. Just have a little prayer meeting right there in your pew. Just tell the Lord, "Lord, I've been thinking about all these other things, but not thinking about you." May we dwell on him. And perhaps you're here today and you're not saved. I didn't particularly preach on that. But the Word of God says, even in the Old Testament, that Hannah said that he was the God of her salvation. If you're here today and you're not sure you're a Christian, you're not sure that you're saved, no wonder your world seems to be slipping in every direction and no order and no consistency. You need Jesus Christ. Whatever your need is, I trust that you would get it met today. And I can tell you this, every need is going to be met in Jesus. Maybe you're here, you need to be baptized. You're saved, you've never been baptized. I invite you to come, present yourself for that. Maybe you're here, you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to come, present yourself for that. Whatever your need is, we trust that you'd get it met before you leave. As the ladies play, would you stand together with us? If God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. If you need the Lord this morning, you've come to a great place. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus, the altogether lovely one. If you're here, you're not sure that you're saved, not sure you're on your way to heaven, would you slip out and let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that's you, true in your life? Again, maybe you're saved, but you need to be baptized. Follow Christ in baptism. I invite you to come present yourself for that. as they just play through another verse or two, if God's dealing with your heart, I invite you to come. Folks, as we're going to close here in just a moment, I don't want you to think I preach to somebody else. I preach to you and to me. We need to dwell on that rock of Jesus Christ in our life. I'll be the first to admit I get too worried about issues. And seems like the Holy Spirit of God, after you wallow around in that for a little while, seems like inevitably the Holy Spirit of God comes back or comes to you and just reminds you to trust in Him. Folks, I believe the reason God led me to preach this morning is because if we're not careful, we look all around instead of looking up. Thank you. May look this way. I want to thank you for being in church this morning, and it's a joy to be here, a joy to be around God's people, and a joy to get to brag on Jesus for a little bit. Because, my friend, He is what this world needs. Mercy, goodness, He is what this world needs. It's so good to have Brother John Stevens and Miss Marilyn. I'm going to ask Brother Stevens, if you don't mind, to slip out there and let folks, or you want to come up here? Come up here or back there? You don't care? Okay, let's go back there. There's a table right there by those columns in the center of the lobby. I'm going to ask Brother Miss Stevens to head back there. And I don't want you to let this be the last time you say goodbye to them, because they'll be back with us tonight. But you slip by and say hello to them and just reminisce a little bit. What wonderful, wonderful Christian folks these are, wonderful leaders. And we thank God for them, and they'll get to slip out there. I'm also going to ask Brother Ward, you want to go slip out by the table? And the ladies, you want to slip out there by the Crown College table and come back, and we'll have some wonderful music by these ladies tonight. And 6:30, that meeting at 6 o'clock, if you've got somebody interested in the junior day camp, you meet Brother Daniel. But we are going to have a great time tonight at 6:30. And as soon as John Stevens gets done preaching, we'll go out here and we'll have some homemade ice cream. How many of you like homemade ice cream? Oh, the more of you than that, I think. Maybe lactose intolerant, maybe a few of us or something. But we're going to have a good time. And if you are that, there are some other things in there. We'll have a great, great time out there. God bless you. I'm going to ask Brother Dan, why don't you come pray for us? I'm going to slip to the lobby as well, and we'll greet folks with Brother Stevens.
In your house, thank you for salvation. Thank you for the encouragement in your word. And thank you for being our rock and our fortress. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be with us now. And thank you for your word that was delivered this morning. And thank you for Sunday school. Lord, I pray that you bring us back this evening, looking for more from heaven. In Jesus' name, be with us now. Amen.